Welcome to the Sales Chaos Theory Podcast, the go-to audio experience for navigating the ever-evolving landscape of sales conversations. Hosted by the dynamic duo Tim Ojai and Brian Lambert, this is your invitation to dive deep into the world of value communication like never before. In a market flooded with unpredictability and constant change, Sales Chaos Theory is your guiding light, offering insights, strategies, and the much-needed clarity to help you find the patterns and thrive amidst the mayhem. This is Sales Chaos Theory, where we make sense of the complexity in the market and help you lean into it to rise above the fray and land more deals. Let's dive in.
You know, as a sales leader, it's likely you're getting a lot of internal pressure to help your sales team sell. When it comes to that internal pressure, there are functional leaders and support staff who genuinely want to help. While the desire to help sales is there, oftentimes that help isn't actually helpful at all. It just adds to the complexity you're struggling to overcome. We have found that sales leaders oftentimes realize that the help they're getting isn't adding the right kind of value to customers, but they're not quite sure what to do about it or how to have that internal conversation. That's what we'll be talking about today. We'll be taking an inventory of the type of help you likely need and offering tips to communicating what you need to do internally, as well as sharing what we've learned in dealing with internal functional team members in operations, technology, finance, marketing, HR, and sales. So let's get started, shall we?
The Sales Chaos Podcast starts now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sales Chaos Podcast. My name is Tim Ojai.
And this is Brian Lambert.
And we are the authors of the book Sales Chaos, Using Agility Selling to Think and Sell Differently. Thank you for joining us. So we're always looking for ways to help people who must rise to the challenge of responding to their company's business and sales strategy. And if you're responsible to drive more valuable customer relationships with the right people at the right level in the customer's organization, you need to master the conversations that are the fuel of these interactions. So you and your team can be a more effective and trusted group of sellers.
Thanks, Tim. Let's dive into this this topic of getting the help you need. You know, I actually did a blog post. It's on the site. It's about the intangibles of sales leadership. And this guy reached out to me, and he was one of the sales leaders that I know. And he's been in sales for 15 to 20 years, and he considers himself someone who has got this sales grit that I talked about in the actual blog. So he's focused on doing what he needs to do, and he told me that. He says he's always focused on what he can control versus what he cannot control. But lately, he's been realizing that he's between a rock and a hard place. For him to actually attain the revenue results that he needs, he has to be able to build internal relationships. And he really struggled with that. So it was a great conversation. And I think that's a great opening for this kind of discussion, because sales leaders realize that what got them here, focusing on what they can control, won't necessarily get them there.
Oh, I totally agree. I'll even go one step further and talk about the idea of I think a lot of sales leaders struggle just being able to communicate what it is that they want and articulating it in a way that other people understand them. So even goes beyond what you can control and what you can't control to even just what you can communicate and build alignment around. I remember working with a VP of sales for a very large company one time, and he tells me he had spent over $1 million on consulting from a big name consulting group for the previous year to try and restructure the organization to generate a whole new, you know, level of performance, tying with the great new strategy, all this other stuff, et cetera. And when we got into, okay, well, walk me through how what your restructuring is going to do is going to help change sales conversations, he had no way of defining that. I literally walked him through the questions of, you know, how is this going to help people get connected to buyers or have more relevant conversations, et cetera. And he had absolutely no way of defining that. He knew that he was going to be spending a lot of money based on the recommendations on technology. and he was overhauling the sales process. But literally, when it came to actually improving the sales conversations and the interactions that generated revenue, he had no insight from the result of all of his efforts.
Yeah. You know, that's not surprising. You know why?
Why?
Because $1 million today in retooling the sales force is nothing to most companies. I think they're like throwing money at this challenge, saying, yeah, let's figure out what we can do. I know one company that spent over $100 million launching a new sales segment. So $1 million today, we don't need that accountability. But for somebody like you and I that goes in and says, you know what, if you took that $1 million and actually gave it to salespeople and asked them how they wanted to actually have it spent on them, it'd probably be something different, right? So it's hard. It's hard to actually get that return on investment. And one of the groups that we often talk to, Tim, is HR leaders who talk about having a high degree of skill. And in the HR field, they actually spend a lot of time talking about how do they unlock unconscious competence. In other words, the ability to do something in a highly skilled way, but perhaps not being able to explain it or articulate it or even share that with others. This unconscious competence can actually be detrimental to helping sales leaders get the help they need, because I'm finding that there's a lot of skilled sales executives out there, but they can't really explain the help they need. They can't really articulate the steps that internal groups need to go through to help them be successful. In other words, these leaders are highly unconscious competent, and they have a hard time translating and, in their words, kind of dumbing down what they need, because to them it's super basic. We got to help people sell. So we're going to unpack that a little bit today, and I think this is going to be a helpful discussion. What do you think?
I think it's going to be great. So let me just ask the audience, have you ever experienced that same kind of frustration, that same kind of situation where you know what you need, but maybe you're not communicating it, or better, people aren't understanding what you're saying because you're trying to talk in the most basic way possible and your support groups in your own company simply don't understand what your request is? Or worse, they say they understand and then they go do something that has zero alignment with what you talked about at the very beginning. So we're going to talk about that literally for the rest of this podcast. And we want to make sure that we're giving you something of value that's going to help you drive that alignment and actually ultimately drive the success and hit the numbers that you need to be hitting. So when you think about the challenges in getting those groups to align to help you, we also want to get into the idea that how you can get energy behind what you're currently doing, so that there may be things that are in the process of execution. You're trying to push a big quarterly number or a big product launch or pick something, and you have stalled out. The advice on this podcast is literally going to help you identify where your gaps are and get those things back on track as quickly as possible. So let's go ahead and jump into this.
Yep. And as we get into it, both Tim and I think it's really important to take a minute and think deeply about the challenge that you're up against as a sales executive. We know you're thinking about this all day long, but in relationship to the others that need to support you, it's important to take a moment here and reflect about what their charter is and what they're actually supposed to be doing on a daily basis. And without poking any fingers, the folks in marketing, operations, sales training, HR, and technology, they might not have the empathy that you need them to drive actual sales conversations. So because we're agility selling, we're going to use sales conversations as the focal point here. And as a fast and quick reminder, the sales conversations that we like to talk about are the following. First, the idea of building a tailored point of view. This is the conversation that you have in your head before you start engaging with a client. Second, the conversation to actually connect to the right people. And that's the second conversation about that first contact with a potential client. From there, it's about the conversations that happen in relevant meetings. This conversation is about exploring and confirming the potential opportunity to solve a genuine problem with the client. And then the fourth conversation, that one's about creating a shared definition of success. That's about building consensus with the client about what can be done and what should be done to solve their problem. And the last one that I want you to think about as we talk about these groups is making the value tangible. This conversation is about turning your client's expectations and alternatives into measurable outcomes. So Tim, why don't you kick us off? We've identified these groups as operations, technology, marketing, finance, sales training, and HR. Let's just have a conversation about these groups as it relates to these five conversations that I just outlined.
Cool. So let's start with operations. Operations is genuinely there to help salespeople spend more time on selling activities. And what's really interesting is if we get into the definition of selling activities, a lot of people, when we ask that question, give us very different answers. But let's just say for a simple reason that selling activities are the things that salespeople do that have direct relationship to generating revenue. And there's things that they do that directly generate revenue and things that they do that don't generate revenue. Because just because they're in front of a customer doesn't mean they're actually generating revenue. What if they're in front of the wrong customer? What if they're working a deal that just should have been disqualified long ago, et cetera. So this idea of generating revenue and operations says, okay, we can try and help you guys generate revenue, or at least we can help you minimize the loss of revenue. But when you get into what they're doing, they don't know if they're actually helping sales conversations as much as they're responding to the demands that have been given to them. A lot of operations people, I literally was just spent this week with somebody who is just constantly interrupted from what she does in managing a Salesforce for her team, and winds up getting all kinds of random requests to other things while she's trying to get the support that the sales team needs put into play and into action, and even checking and correcting when things are not working as planned so that she can make them better. When you can clarify if their activities in sales operations are directly tied to, are you able to help people research and develop a tailored point of view? And the answer is no, then immediately you can start saying, gosh, would you help us with that? That would be huge. Help us get the research, help us get the information, help us develop the content we need that will generate totally different kinds of conversations. Because if a seller walks in without any insight, well, you know what's going to happen. It's not going to be pretty, and they're not going to be responded to, and the buyers will find your sellers totally irrelevant. And it works all the way through the line. The same thing with, you know, objective two, and how do you personally connect with the right person? And when we say right person, we're not just talking about a job title. We're talking about somebody who specifically has authority to address the challenge or the problem that you can actually help address. And it runs all the way through. And then when you open the door to technology, it's the exact same conversation. Technology, it's amazing to me how people forget this principle that technology is simply an enabler. It accelerates whatever it is that you're doing. So if you're doing bad prospecting and you add technology to it, you're just going to accelerate bad prospecting. If you're doing great negotiating and you add technology to that, you're going to continue doing even greater negotiating. But technology people often have zero clue over what they're trying to do in terms of change the conversation. They're trying to generate usually data and reports that have nothing to do with sales conversations. And I would challenge pretty hard whether or not it actually has direct relationship to revenue. And then we get into probably my favorite group to go after, and Brian, you'll probably have some extra comments on this one, is marketing. Marketing as a whole often has huge desire to help, but zero insight into the actual conversations. They're just not there. They're not listening. They're not paying attention. They're dealing at a macro level, and sellers are dealing at a micro level. I you know, if I'm a seller, I don't talk to CIOs or CMOs. I talk to Bob and Mary and Jose, and I talk to people who are at the level of their job in a specific situation that's going to be unique with every single conversation. And marketing needs to really understand how they can design from the conversation backwards, because the opposite is they shove their stuff into the conversation, which usually winds up sitting as complaints from salespeople, as marketing doesn't give them anything of value.
Yeah, good stuff, Tim. And I think my summarization of these areas is they have a specific value that they can add to help sales executives, you know, drive those sales conversations with their teams. But oftentimes it's kind of bottled up in a planning effort or a coordination effort that really is operationally focused instead of customer centric, if you will. So, it's hard to extrapolate out of that a unique contribution to the sales conversation. And as sales executives and leaders, our advice to you in that would be to think about how you engage in more long-term conversations instead of the day-to-day tactical ones. I think with operations, even technology and marketing, sales leaders are very myopic day-to-day on what needs to happen. And that actually fuels this internal discussion as opposed to more of an external discussion, because the strategy of most of these organizations, these functions that Tim just talked about, operations, technology, and marketing, they actually do have market-centric and customer-centric strategies, but they don't show up every day. So I think the fertile soil for executive leaders is to engage in that long-term planning process, to move out of the tactical doing, to maybe tactical planning even, and then hopefully into more of a strategic conversation. And
that's where, so true, Brian. That is so true.
That's going to be helpful, I think, for you guys as executives. The next three groups would be finance, sales, training, and HR. From a finance perspective, you know, when you look at the help that finance can provide, you know, the bottom line there is when you think of, if you're a publicly traded company, what the earnings call is all about, it's about that balance sheet. And when you're in sales land and you are focused on sales conversations, it's really hard to draw a direct correlation between that sales conversation that happened with that prospect on December 12th and that balance sheet. And that's the world that finance lives in, because that balance sheet, when it shakes down through the organization and ends up into functional budgets and line item budgets, none of those equal your December 12th sales conversation. They fund and fuel different initiatives, and some of them are quite random and don't actually impact your December 12th sales conversation. So with finance, getting visibility into what they're spending money on and how it impacts you is, again, another strategic conversation. So there's a theme here as a sales executive, having a little bit more of a forward lean with these guys to say, how are we allocating our money? Here's how I'm seeing it show up in my sales team, and this is the kind of help I need. How can I start wrangling in some of this randomness? That's a great conversation with finance. For sales training, I've been the recipient of many sales training courses. Back in the day, the sales training was in a three-ring binder, and we all left with the binder and kind of threw it in a trunk of our car or in the dumpster, and that was it. Even in the most recent of times where I spent a lot of time with sales training leaders, I see sales training is not very customer-centric, believe it or not, especially in areas like new hire training. Just think about that as a sales executive. What are your new hires actually getting trained on? If they get any new hire training whatsoever, it's going to be on your company and your products, not your customers. So that's just one example of a conversation that you can have with sales training leaders to talk about how do we infuse the customer into your sales training? Because you know what? Most sales training leaders have a huge gap and a huge blind spot on the conversations that you're actually having. And they need access to you and they need access to your team. This adage of, well, I can't let my people out of the field, that's the kiss of death for you. If you have a sales training function, you need to let them have access. I think you should manage perhaps the conversation and make sure they're asking the right kind of questions and not wasting people's time. But you don't want sales training in a conference room building training for you. I think that's a conversation you want to have. And the final thing that I would suggest here is the HR function. You know, if you think about it, there's kind of two views of HR. There's the administrative, compliance, legal view. For this conversation here, we want to talk about the talent acquisition, recruiting, selection process. Here, obviously, there's job descriptions and job profiles and all that. And as a sales executive, you probably look at these things and say, okay, whatever, and I'll take care of it in the interview process. But what HR really needs to have a conversation around is how is your sales team needing to evolve? What's the future state of your sales team? Because your customers are evolving. What are the skills and talents that they need in the forward lean of 2 years from now? That's a conversation that they need to be having now because they've got an HR mechanism that needs to align to it. So in all of these conversations, I would just say operations, technology, marketing, finance, sales, training, and HR, get out of the day-to-day and spend some time talking strategically about what you need from your sales team and do it in a comfortable way. Maybe it's an annual conversation. Maybe you take them out to lunch or whatever. But I think, Tim, I think that one of the things that you're passionate about is building genuine relationships with folks who can help you.
Yeah, let me just make sure we're not losing the point of there's these five conversations. So we're specifically talking about getting those representatives either together at one place or are just developing the ongoing working relationship required to collaborate in order to, number one, make sure your reps are getting tailored points of view before they contact their customers, especially their most important ones. Do not walk in blind. Do not walk in without some insight into what the problems, the challenges, the pressures, the trends that are affecting individual buyers, not just, you know, personas, but individual people that you can actually look up on LinkedIn and understand what that person is trying to do at a hypothetical point of view, but with a very educated hypothesis around how that person is trying to do their job and what their likely challenges are. And if you can understand the outcomes that they're trying to achieve, break that down, and then turn that into your message for connecting with the right buyer. Connect with the right person. And it's not just about a job title. It's about connecting with the person who is most relevant to the problem or the challenge that your team can help address. Again, if you just camped on those two objectives and talk to marketing and say, marketing, how are we making sure that our team is having a tailored point of view and getting connected to the right buyer? You're going to have massively different conversations than you're probably having already right now. Same thing with operations and technology, even with finance, because finance is going to unlock the resources that you'll need for some of those things and may even be able to help you generate a compelling business case for generating interest in what you guys are doing. But continuing through that, you've got the third conversation of really relevant meetings with not just the one person you're trying to talk to, but the host of people that are usually get attached to these kind of complex situations, because everybody buys by committee now. All the way through to building that shared definition of success, getting real tangible definition to what you think you can achieve, and also qualifying on your own internal team, helping people do the analysis necessary to say, hey, is this a good deal or a bad deal? Do we push in or do we pull out? And then finally making that value tangible. What needs to happen to present a winning business case? And get through the negotiation so you can not only close but activate the deal and turn something into real value for the customer that delights them, that drives their success, and also helps you be as successful on your own internal scorecard. Those concepts are absolutely critical to unlocking almost all of the problems we see when we look at sales, falling flat, product launches not taking off, etc. And just being able to take an inventory of the challenges you're seeing as they break through those five areas, you'll suddenly have a different level of clarity that will absolutely change how you could coordinate, align, and support around making those conversations more successful. Just the key is you got to keep it focused on sales conversations. If you start going off into other things, you will spend your time trying to solve problems that don't actually contribute to your success.
Important advice. And that's, you know, the first thing that we want you guys to try here is to take that inventory of those challenges in relation to sales conversations by thinking through these groups. So yeah, thanks Tim for that first actionable tidbit. The second action that we want you guys to try is to really embrace this idea of quote unquote help. Even if you believe that the help that you are going to receive is not as valuable as you would like, go ahead and find ways to accept the help, but maybe redirect it into something that's a little bit more, tactical, more of a lower hanging fruit that you can ratchet over time. So an example of this would be HR wanting to help with revisiting compensation plans or whatever. Perhaps you can redirect them into rethinking about a baseline of your sales team in general. That's something that we find is super helpful for sales executives to figure out the kind of talent that they have across their organization and think about strategically how to work with HR to evolve their sales group over time. So that's an example of kind of take the help, redirect the help, start with baby steps and ratchet over time. That's the second thing we want to try.
And then the third thing we would suggest is just find a coalition of the willing. Find the groups of people that will help you. So we've rattled off six different functions, and you may have other functions that we haven't specifically named. Generally, we find it breaks down into thirds. There's a third of the people you work with will absolutely get what you're trying to do and want to help. A third will sit on the fence and wait until some sort of significant result comes in play and they have a compelling reason to jump in and become more active. And then you've got a third, generally, on average, that will fight you every step of the way. They're either absolutely confused by what you're trying to do, they're opposed to what you're trying to do, or frankly, they're just under-resourced and they're tired and they're confused and they're fatigued. They just don't have the energy for it. What you want to do is find that first third. Find that group of people who, without any kind of resistance, will jump in with you into the deep end of the swimming pool and just start making progress. You don't have to solve everything all at one time, but if you can make tangible progress with that group, you can turn that into a business case for your fence sitters and, more importantly, for your resistors, to get those people to start converting. Because often your resistors, if you can convert them, will become your greatest champions over time.
Yeah, good stuff. I love that. The coalition of the willing. All right. The fourth thing here that we would suggest that you try. And, you know, this is an important one because, you know, we started getting into, and I just want to re-highlight again, this idea of building the right relationships with folks. The fourth thing is this idea of find a friend in finance. And the reason why we're suggesting that is at some point in time, you will need to help reallocate money internally to get what you need. Now, that might not be right now, but as organizations face more and more pressure, the more you establish a relationship with the finance organization, the better off you'll be. And the reason for that is you got to remember, finance is arbitration. They arbitrate where the money's going. And more finance organizations are assuming more and more power. If you need funding for a specific initiative that you think will help you, it's best to have a friend in finance to help you do it. Now, that's going to take a while, perhaps, to start evolving to, where they come to you and say, here's what I'm thinking. But you want to start now. It's the old adage of when's the best time to plant a tree, and you know, 30 years ago is the best time, but the second best time would be today, would be the next best time. So that's kind of what we're talking about here, is start build that relationship now.
Cool. And there's one more thing we want to ask you to do. Ask us questions. Drop your question in the comment section on this website. Honestly, we really want to be a community where you can find the value that you need to be more effective and fulfilled as a professional sales leader. When you ask a question, you create a dialogue that other people can leverage as well. So that helps us all.
Absolutely. So there you go. If you want to get the help that you need internally from your company, it's about being proactive and thinking strategically while reaching out to build meaningful relationships with these critical areas. Take the time to practice communicating internally in ways that other functions not only understand what you're trying to do, but they actually genuinely want to help engage in. Invite the leaders to engage in the reality that your team is facing. Bring that sales reality into them and have those dialogues, because it's going to help you be more successful. And from there, start establishing working relationships through the coalition of the willing, the friend in finance, through these specific challenges that you're facing, to actually impact these five sales conversations. And that's how you can establish that baseline to start evolving from.
All right. Well, that's it for today. On behalf of Brian and myself, we invite your thoughts, comments, your feedback. And remember, friends, tips and tricks don't save the world. You need to find your own way to communicate value to buyers at every interaction so you can turn chaos into opportunity. So thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Sales Chaos Podcast. To interact with Brian and Tim, send them an email at interact@saleschaos.com. Also, take a look at our book club online at www.saleschaos.com/bookclub.